Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that is well familiar with the kinds of fear that only movies can give us. Whether we're talking about German expressionism, Wes Craven-type exploitation, or the most graphic kind of splatter cinema that only Rob Zombie can imagine, fear is mostly associated with straight horror. Yet many of the greatest movies ever made have moments of shock that stay with those of us who see them for, in some cases, decades. However you define it, though, fear is an appropriate reaction to this pandemic era, especially as we approach Halloween. And so that's what the three of us are going to share with you this week, the movie moments that we found most frightening. Let's begin by discussing exactly what kinds of movie scenes scare us the most. And I'll take the lead here. We've talked about this so many times over the years we've been doing the show. We've mentioned movies that scared us, that shocked us, that surprised us. And when I was talking about some of the greatest movies ever made, some people consider Stanley Kubrick one of the greatest filmmakers. And so we have The Shining, we have William Friedkin's The Exorcist, we have Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. All these movies touch into something that scares someone. And I think that's the point. Horror and fright is pretty much like comedy. It depends on our individual reactions. For me, I can tell you that I'm an extreme claustrophobe. So whenever I feel like a movie is shocking me with some manic type that is intruding on my territory, that is going to come and get me, it just literally drives me out of my movie seat. So I am particularly privy to those kinds of movies. And when I get around to talking about specific films that scare me, I think that you'll see exactly what I mean.
And I think that you're talking about things that are primal or visceral. And I think in some respects, it could depend on when you saw a movie for the first time, because I still think that one of the scariest movies is whenever Margaret Rutherford appears on the screen in The Wizard of Oz, because I saw that when I was really, really young. And so I think that gets to my core in some respects that movies since have not. But yeah, that line between horror, fright, creepiness, that sense of impending doom, that all of these things I think should go into the mix in terms of our describing what movie scenes have sort of made an impression on us or scared the bejesus out of us.
Yeah, and I was kind of a scaredy cat when I was a kid. I did not gravitate towards horror movies and was afraid of all kinds of weird stuff. And then, I don't know, by the time I was probably in junior high, a switch flipped, and then I just kind of became a voracious horror movie viewer. And, I had to watch anything that was on any kind of list of scariest movies or most violent movies or most shocking movies. I just had to see all of them and experience them. And so maybe I've been kind of inured to it because I've seen so much stuff and I've read so much literature about how horror works on us and how certain horror films were made, how certain, gore effects were put together. I'm especially fascinated how, you talk about splatter movies, Dan, you mentioned in your intro. I'm always interested in how they get the splatter to do what it's supposed to do. So maybe I'm too academic when it comes to watching horror that I don't really get scared all that often anymore. But when I do come away from a movie that really bothered me on some kind of level, I do think it is a visceral thing. And I also find that I'm more affected by something that's unsettling or unexplainable than something that is outright trying to scare me or startle me. I really resent being startled. So filmmakers like David Lynch, for instance, really can creep me out because he's able to find this level of weirdness, sort of this kind of uncanny valley feeling where you're looking at something and you know that something is just off, but you're not sure how and your brain can't really process it. That's the level that I find scariest. So, not necessarily supernatural, but kind of that weird dream state that certain filmmakers are able to capture on film.
Yeah, and I think a perfect example of that, we'll get into our specific examples in the second half, but one example of that is in Mulholland Drive, there's a scene in which he moves the camera from a diner and it slowly moves into the alleyway behind it. And ultimately you see nothing, but that was one of the creepiest scenes in all of David Lynch's movies. And that's saying something, because this is the guy who made Eraserhead.
Well, you're talking about that sense of dread in that scene, because something does eventually pop out from behind the dumpster that's in the alley there behind the diner. But that's the moment that isn't the scariest. The moment is the buildup to it, because it creates this sense of what could possibly be behind there. And so your imagination kind of runs wild and creates all kinds of, you know, screwed up scenarios. So, although now that I say that, the examples that I picked that we're going to talk about in the second half of the show don't necessarily fall into this category, but maybe I can try and link the two thoughts together.
Theory,
right.
I like the fact, Nathan, that you talked about the difference between being frightened and being startled. Or maybe that's not exactly how you put it, but I do think that there are some differences. And, you know, I'm just not a person who responds well to artificial, these creatures that don't exist in the world, to the best of my knowledge. Maybe the exception would be Alien, when that thing pops out. So was I more startled or was I scared by that? Is that a possibility? I don't know. In this pandemic age, I have no idea what could happen health-wise to any of us, but that seems a little improbable. So it's dealing with people and situations. Mm. And as you point out, Nathan, the uncertainty of human behavior, real humans, not humans from another planet or creatures from another planet, or maybe there are humans on other planets. Yeah. I don't know. But it is that sort of uncertainty, because I'll tell you, one of the scariest things I've ever seen was the movie Audition. And it's hard to explain exactly. It's a Japanese film and it's a revenge film of sorts. But there's a scene in that movie where, let me just say, a bag moves and you are just so taken aback and you're just like horrified at that moment, or I was at least.
Yeah. And I want to make the point, I don't want to end this first half without making the point, that a lot of this is due to the talents and the imagination of the filmmakers, because
and the special effects people.
But I'm thinking more of the filmmakers It's, I mean, you were talking, Nathan, about the splatter and how interested you are in that. But think about Reservoir Dogs and think about that horrifying scene with Michael Madsen in which he's dancing to Steeler Wheels and he's about to cut off the ear. We never see what happens, but yet because of Tarantino's, well, you know, in this one instance, his ability to hold back, it is that much more terrifying. So, you know, a lot of this is not just our personal reaction. It's what the filmmakers understand about what not to do, what not to show, and leave it all to our imagination.
Right. Restraint can be a lot scarier than going all out sometimes. And yeah, I mean, I love a good head explosion as much as the next person. Like, give me Scanners any day of the week. but I don't find that scary. I just find that, you know, kind of fun on a gross practical special effects level. I want to look at it and see, how did they get that thing to do what it did? And I think going back to Alien, which I agree with you is a very effective horror movie and still holds up as one of the scariest movies I've seen, I don't necessarily find the alien itself scary, even though it is very creepy. That H.R. Giger design is so kind of, the sleekness of it is sort of off-putting in a way, because it looks engineered. It doesn't look like an organic thing. And that sort of creates a weird disconnect in your mind. The scary thing about Alien is this idea of infestation, of your body being invaded, and also the uncertainty of knowing who has been infected or not. I think John Carpenter's The Thing, which is even gloopier and has even more crazy monster effects in it, that's why that's scary. It's because you don't know if you're sitting next to somebody that has the alien inside of them, and then the alien gets out and you don't know where it is, and it can hide and pop out at you. But the reason that Alien endures isn't because of those pop-out scenes, even though it does have a very famous pop-out scene. It's because of that that weird uncertainty and the suspense that Ridley Scott is able to pull from that material.
I don't think I ever really found Carpenter's The Thing as scary as the first one. But then again, you know, and the first one that is cheesy as hell. But then again, I saw it at a certain age in which it just had that effect on me, and it was scary. So when Carpenters came along, I was just like you, Nathan, going, wow, that's cool. Look at how they did all those special effects. And look, isn't Kurt Russell funny and with that long hair and a beard? So once again, I think it goes back to the argument that horror and fright all depends upon your personal reactions to it, mixed with the talent of the filmmaker and the choices that are made. So at any rate, it's time to take a break. This is Movies 101, and during this special edition of the show, we've been discussing the top moments of movie fear. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at even more studies of movie fear, some specific studies. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Kerry Boyce, GM of Spokane Public Radio. When I was 13, someone gave me a small used record player and a transistor radio. These trivial items gave me access to a world beyond my immediate and challenging circumstances. I could actually imagine possibilities for a better future. I'm very grateful for that, just as I'm grateful to our contributors for making access to news, music, and the arts possible through SPR. I know firsthand how important access to information is. We truly could not provide this service and the possibilities of a wider world without you. Thank you.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of this special edition of our show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I have been sharing the movie moments that most filled us with fear. It seems pretty appropriate for Halloween. Let me kick off this half by mentioning a movie that isn't likely to make anyone's best of list in pretty much any category imaginable. And I know I said I would let you go first, Nathan, but I'm jumping in here.
Go for it.
There's a little movie in 1976 that no one has ever heard of, no one has ever seen. It was a made-for-TV movie by a guy named Dan Curtis, who's best known for producing and directing The Winds of War, The War of Remembrance. Those were big TV extravaganzas in the 90s, I believe, or 70s. I can't even remember. It's been so long ago. It's a weird movie based upon a novel about a family in this haunted house. There is the climactic scene in that film, which I'm not even going to talk about. Let's not get into spoilers. But it features Karen Black, who already scares me in every movie she's ever made, wide-eyed, coming at Oliver Reed and coming at us through coming at Oliver Reed. And I don't know. That just hit every part of my claustrophobic fear of maniacal presences. And it just scared the hell out of me. And like I say, Burnt Offerings is not a good movie in any shape,
so
in any
sense of the word. So what's its name again? This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Burnt Offerings. I just happened to catch it one afternoon or one evening. And I've never forgotten that scene. And I've never been able to look at Karen Black in the same way since. So.
Well, I have seen Burnt Offerings. I have heard of it and I have seen it. And you're right. It's not going to make anybody's best of list. That I'll leave it at that. The movie moment that I wanted to talk about is I said in the first half that it takes a lot to scare me anymore. And I think that, you know, the longer that you work as a film critic or reviewer, you know, the more jaded you become to things, especially violence. But I think the last time that I felt truly terrified in a movie theater was watching David Fincher's 2007 film Zodiac. And I know a lot of people usually bring up Seven as the great scary David Fincher movie, but there was something very kind of heightened and baroque about the style of Seven that I like that movie a lot, but I've never found it particularly scary. What's so scary about Zodiac is the mundanity of it, the idea that at any moment, your just everyday life could be shattered by a serial killer showing up. And the scene that really does it for me is early in the film when a couple is having a picnic by the lake. It's in the middle of the day, and it was at a place called Lake Berryessa. And the Zodiac Killer shows up, and the way that Fincher shoots that film, it's almost beautiful. The lake looks pretty. It looks like, you know, the perfect spring or summer day. And then this horror comes into it. And the simplicity with which he shoots it, the fact that there's no orchestral music to communicate to you that something terrifying has happened, it just lets it play out as it probably would in real life. There was something about it that just struck a nerve with me. And I freaked out in the theater. I almost had like a physical reaction to it. There was just something about that scene, and I've never forgotten it. And there's a scene later in the movie that gets brought up a lot on Scariest of All Time list, where Jake Gyllenhaal has to go into this scary house, and there's a guy who might be the Zodiac Killer in there. And it's a great scene of suspense. But that lakeside scene is the one that stuck with me. And I don't think a new movie has come out since that has scared me quite the way that Zodiac has. And it's been a long time since that movie came out.
Well, in keeping with the similar theme of lakes and unexpected guests and so forth and so on, I have talked about this film before and people might be sick of hearing about it, but the original Funny Games by Michael Haneke, I thought was one of the scariest movies ever. And again, for a variety of reasons. So first, it's just this family going on vacation. So in Austria, they're going on vacation by a lake. And then all of a sudden, these two young men show up at their house wearing tennis attire of a fashion and, most important, white gloves. And they ask to borrow some eggs. And then the family is held hostage from that point on. And the most frightening thing about this entire film is the fact that we never see any violence on the screen at all.
Although violence does occur.
Yes, and we're well aware of its occurrence, but we don't see it. So what you conjure up in your own mind about what's happening in terms of these sequences that you're not actually observing, I think is the most frightening part of this film. Now, having said this, this is one of these rare situations where Michael Haneke remakes this film in the English language, and he makes it exactly as the original. And for some reason, that remake, I didn't find scary or creepy at all. No, I just thought it was unnecessary. So right. Funny Games is my creepiest film.
Yeah. And I'm going to pick up on my second one, which it strikes me, it's another one about a woman who is threatening. So it's a good thing I'm married to someone who is not threatening, because obviously that's some sort of really inherent fear within me. But I'm talking about the 1989 movie, the adaptation of the novel, The Woman in Black, and not the 2012 remake with Daniel Radcliffe. This was the one directed by Herbert Wise and starring a bunch of people who none of us even recognize because they're all Brit actors. It was made for British television. And there's a scene in which a guy is going out. He's a lawyer, and he's going out to settle this estate of this weird, weird house. And he sees a woman in a graveyard. And once again, the camera pans in on her, and she has this manic look on her eyes and these wide eyes. And it's like, I'm going to eat you up. And it's like, holy no. That just, you know, This is what we've been talking about, these movies that play into our inherent fears, and it just absolutely drives me crazy. The Woman in Black, 1989.
Well, the next scary movie that I want to bring up is another film that was remade in English by the same filmmaker that originated the story, and that would be George Slyzer and his film, The Vanishing.
Whoa!
Which I believe came out in 1988 or 1989. And just kind of the log line here is that a woman goes missing in broad daylight. We see what happens, but her boyfriend does not. And it drives him crazy, wondering how she could just, you know, vanish into thin air. And he eventually comes across the man who abducted her. And he says, I will tell you what happened. I will finally solve this mystery that has been driving you insane, but you have to go through exactly the same experience that she did. And the dread of that very premise, and I mean, this is an existential fear that we're talking about here, and just the inevitability of it, because we know that this cannot possibly end well for this guy, is scary enough. But then the final scene of that film, where we see what happens to him, ergo finally learning what happened to her, is one of the most chilling endings in any movie. And of course, when George Schleiser remade it in English, he completely ruined the ending and made it not scary at all. But that original Vanishing, I'm telling you that, I mean, it's just one of those full body fear experiences. Yes. And I don't want to give it away, but it also involves claustrophobia, which has come up several times in this show.
Yes. Yeah, a recurring theme for sure. Well, yeah. Something that does not involve claustrophobia is The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock. And I saw that when I was 10 years old. I went with a girl from the neighborhood. Her mom dropped us off. It was an afternoon showing. I think there were probably 8 people in the theater. And for whatever reason, maybe feeling guilty that I was there and I wasn't sure I was supposed to be in this huge, huge old 1930s theater with such a small group of people. And then The Birds themselves. And I am fearful of birds to this day. So if you let birds fly about your house and you know who you are, do not invite me over to see them, because for whatever reason, some of which I've tried to identify, this was a really core experience for me. And birds, I'm fearful of them to this day.
And it's funny because, you know, Hitchcock is not known for his naturalism, his realistic filmmaking. I mean, it is
yeah,
all about
birds were kind of fake looking.
They were, exactly. Yeah. They were.
Well, yeah. And you know what makes birds really scary, especially the birds of like the raven crow variety, is that they're much smarter than they get credit for. So I think they could hatch a plan like the one in The Birds if they really put their bird brains to it.
That makes me feel even better.
Yeah. Sweet dreams.
Yeah. When we go for our walk this afternoon, sweetheart, you'll.
Are we going to Lincoln Park?
Yeah. Well, that wraps up this special edition of Movies 101. I'm your host, Dan Webster. Nathan Weinbinder, my pet Truth Art, and I have been sharing our top moments of movie fear. We delight in taking this moment to thank Peter Garberg for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that streaming cinema has to offer. Until then, remember these words from the great horror filmmaker John Carpenter. Monsters in movies are us, always us, one way or the other. They're us with hats on. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.